Hello and welcome to another episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. We are on number 108, and I am your host, Joey, conscientiously and confidently crowing about crowdfunding D's.
Hey!
Yes!
I'm here for it.
Take that, Sean Epperson of Thing 12 Games.
Oh, hey, hey.
You have been defeated. Of course, I have Josh, as I pronounce him in my dreams, Ule.
I would say, hey, how's it going in a French accent, but no, I would offend many countries.
You struggle with English, let alone French.
I know, correct.
French. And of course, Vicky B running the boards. Vicky.
I love Ule.
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 Well, if you want to speak in a French accent and tell Josh hello, Josh, how can the lovely Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
They can go to bjgeeknation.com. You get all the podcasts, interviews, videos, links, and more.
More!
Also, search for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, or go to odyssey.com.
Odyssey.com.
AUDACY.
Odyssey. Yes. And on today's episode, we are going to talk special deliveries, games we've got, and games we are looking forward to play. We're going to talk about game length, the truth, the lies, and the preferences. And we're going to talk a 4X Roll'n'Write. You know Twilight Imperium, but do you know Twilight Inscription? And of course, the crowdfunding games that you need to look forward to. One that even maybe someone in this studio might be a part of. Maybe. Who knows?
What's this game? I don't know.
But why don't we get straight to some of our games that we've gotten with some
special delivery.
Special deliveries. Josh, Sean, what has arrived at your door?
I got one hand delivered.
One hand?
Hand delivered.
Yeah, they knocked on the door, which I've told him countless times. Do not knock on my door.
My children will assault you.
There are dogs. There are babies. There are, oh my God. Don't knock on the door, Sean.
Uh-oh.
I got hand delivered my copy of Dice of Dragons.
What?
And I got 7 awesome wood dragons.
Yeah, you did.
And I got a metal coin that I may have didn't think I got, but I just didn't look deep enough. I got the latest Dice of Dragons. It looks amazing. It's a little late. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Shade.
That's fired.
Actually, for everything that's going on in the world, you may have noticed, it was delivered remarkably quick. I'm very happy.
How did that happen so quickly?
I don't know. Let's go to the manufacturer, producer, designer, programmer.
Programmer.
Writer.
Programmer. I programmed it.
Are you saying it might be Sean?
It was. It was Dice of Dragons by Thing 12 Games.
Yeah, we actually got it in earlier than we were kind of expecting, which in today's time was kind of amazing. So, yeah, we're happy to try and get that out to people. And it's been going out right now. Like, so all people that have backed it on Kickstarter, they've been getting their copies. And, yeah, and people are responding really well. They're like, oh, my God, it looks amazing. It's, you know, fantastic, which is really great to hear because you put a lot of time and effort and stuff. And seeing people enjoying what you've put out there is really good stuff.
That's awesome. And getting hand-delivered by Sean, it must have been really a privilege for you, Josh. I know you don't see him very often.
Honestly, it was a little scary. It was like late at night. And I was like, who is here?
Who is this dragon at my door?
That's why I knocked on the door. That'd be funny.
Sean knows to just walk in.
Sean is good at trolling outside the board game table as well. I'm glad to see that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. You want to tell us a little bit about the game, Sean, since Josh
sure.
just got it?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a little bit of a push your luck. So this is a different game from the Daiso series where they're very combative games. This is a full co-op game where you have to work together when you're rolling your dice and you're trying to amass swords to be able to attack the dragon. There's a bunch of gold that the dragon has. That gold represents the dragon's life. So you're trying to work together to pull that gold to each other because you're giving yourself life in by doing so. And then the dragon gets his turn, and the dragon will attack you in lots of nefarious ways. So there's a lot of different dragons that you can get in the game. The game comes with 2 dragons, the metal coin being the core dragon, and then there's an ice dragon that you can fight against. It has special abilities that are really mean and nasty that we had fun coming up with.
That's pretty awesome. Join your friends in slaying a dragon. And of course, you have the lovely dice box, which we love to see every time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this one has an extra set of rules that comes with it. And that extra set of rules allows allows you to mix dice of crowns with dice of dragons or dice of pirates with dice of dragons for different game types and ways to play.
I have never seen a pirate slay a dragon, but I like this idea and I like where we're going with it.
Same.
Well, what did you get in, Sean, since you did, you know, besides spending your time delivering to Josh, I'm sure you would probably pick up your own board games.
Yeah, we had a bunch of stuff coming in besides our own things. I got the latest playmat from Game Toppers, and I got the Cthulhu playmat.
Oh, shout out to Game Toppers. They do awesome stuff.
Yes, it's so cool. This big giant ocean scene. There's a large ship that's like fighting against the waves in the corner, and in the opposite corner is Cthulhu kind of looming menacingly in the corner. It looks awesome. It's so cool looking.
So for those of you who don't know, Game Toppers makes essentially giant mats and board game tables and all this crazy stuff. And I don't know what size you went with, Sean, but BJ's board game table is what I would define as huge.
I've got one step down.
Okay. You went with the sane level.
Yes.
BJ has the Mycroft XL because he got he's got an additional leaf for it.
I don't know what the measurement of Mycroft is, but I think of Sherlock Holmes. Same. So
yeah,
large.
He's a huge douche. Nope. So huge table topper.
Well, as we know, games can be various lengths, and the box will tell you 30, 90, 120, and then it'll put a little colon or semi or a little dash, and it'll say between this time. And you always wonder yourself, how can a game be between 30 and 90 minutes? Where does this extra hour come from?
You also have to wonder, is that everybody or per player?
Ooh, that's a great question, because we like to add players to our games because the more the merrier. But that can add to the length.
This can add a lot.
So we would like to talk about the truth, the lies, and the preferences with our two favorite board game experts here. So Josh, Sean, tell us a little bit about your experience with the length of a game.
Well, I never look at the game length on any.
All right, chop it up. That's it. Ignore the box completely. Next segment.
Well, I found that I think that under a perfect circumstance where everybody knows how to play the game and everybody knows the rules really well and are pretty honed into the strategy, and they don't talk, eat, drink, sleep, or use the bathroom, then they can hit those times.
Ah, so never.
Yes.
Look, there are too many peanut M&Ms in the world for me to hit that game length. I gotta get up.
That's true. I guess I believe they put forth the effort to come up with an accurate time, but sometimes I think they're just like, we have to put something here. What do you think?
So there is a bit of an advertising element to it. So you're not going to look like, okay, the first time that you play, it's going to be long, right? Because you got to learn the rules, and there's going to be going back to the rule book when people have questions, and everybody's, you know, kind of taking their time figuring things out. Really, what you're trying to aim for is what is the average play time based on people that actually play the game and know what they're doing. So it is kind of a best case scenario. But yeah, the first time you play, it's not going to be anything close to whatever it says on the box.
So when I play with BJ and we learn a new game, for instance, say he wants to teach me the new Twilight Imperium, he's usually pretty good about posting a YouTube video or something and says, watch this gameplay or learn some of these rules. Do you think it's a good idea to have people do something like that before they learn a game? Because when you go cold turkey and you see all of it, it can be a little overwhelming.
I actually don't.
Oh, okay.
Because if I know somebody's going to teach me the game, that's what I'm in for. I don't want to pre-research.
You don't want to have that already image in your head of what could be happening or maybe a bad rule that should have been changed.
No.
No, you just like to get surprised.
It's not so much surprise. That goes into teach anyway. That's a whole nother thing. Just the game length, I know just from being around board games that TI is going to be a long game, and I'm okay with that. But I don't think that actually helps game length. I think then people get all these preloaded questions that they only half understand anyway, and I think it ends up making the rules teach go on a lot longer.
I can see that. Vicky, you played a lot of party games mostly, right?
Yeah, mostly because a lot of the friends that I do hang out with on the reg, especially because of, global circumstances, it's been smaller groups, and they usually just want to drink.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So it's usually that kind of shenanigans. And I made the mistake, actually, I recently bought a game, and it was like, I think it's called like First One, Last One or something like that, where a person, it's very much in the vein of like your Cards Against Humanity, where like one person's the judge. So that person pulls out a card and you have to compete and do whatever it says.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like almost like a charades, but more
kind
fun.
Of.
Yeah.
It, like where there's one where it's like the first person to, you know, pull up a picture on their phone of middle school. They win that one. Or one person has to hide a specific item or whatever. Oh, hide the card. And then everyone has to go look for it. I'm not super competitive, usually. Usually. Like, I'm like, if we're just drinking, I'm like, I don't want to get up. I don't, what? And so someone hit the card, and they were all ransacking my kitchen trying to find the card.
Yes!
So I played a lot of games like that. So that's kind of been where my... I've been landing. However, I do miss actually playing real board games.
You see, I like party games because when you get the rules wrong, it just makes the game better anyways.
Nope. So
you
don't have to learn them. Or you don't really even have to keep track of points.
Yeah, but you've had Josh and Sean teach you some games like, let's see, what was the one of your favorite? Lords of Waterdeep, I believe, was one
was
of them,
Was it Lords
right?
of Waterdeep, you guys tell me, or was that somebody else?
Well, if you ask BJ, that's every game.
Because I thought that I played with our buddies Chris Walker and Pete Greenberg.
Oh.
Because I remember they kept somebody kept messing with me. They kept giving me the
mandatory missions.
Mandatory missions. And I still hadn't figured out how to play the game yet. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, so can I do if I pay this? It was literally my first time playing. If I do this, does that mean I can do this and this? They're like, yes. I'm like, okay. Well, f you, f you, f you, and I f everyone. I ended up winning somehow.
Wow.
But I was like, so spiteful, like, because they kept piling on.
You played correctly.
Yes.
Yes, spite everyone.
With anger.
Well, I was wondering because I watched a video tutorial on Lords of Waterdeep when I originally learned it, and it helped a little bit, but I think the hands-on helped more with the person telling me, hey, it's going to tell you where to take your turns, but this is probably the order you should take them in, or learn, like, don't get too much corruption or don't do this and that.
Right.
I always find the hands-on teaching better. What do you kind of similar?
See, that's for me. Like, I need somebody to, you could explain it to me all you want, but if it's a longer game, you're like, let me tell you how this all works. I'm like,
yeah.
No, even with my ADHD medication, I am gone. So no, long gone. I'm like, I need you first round to like walk us through it. Like, I never, even when I've played a game with somebody who's played the game before, like with my old roommate, we call him Tahiti Steve. What we do, there's times where when we've only played a game maybe 2, 3, 4 times, he's like, look, this is not going to benefit me, but you don't want to do that. Look what you just did. It's like, oh, thanks, because like it doesn't feel like a real win because of one tiny like oversight.
Please tell me that Tahiti Steve comes with coconuts, because this man sounds like he belongs on a beach.
I have a picture of us in Hawaiian garb, and he is wearing a coconut bra. There is a picture out there that exists.
Yes,
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite pictures.
Don't ask Josh why. Yes, well, what do you say, Sean?
Well, players can have a huge impact on a game length as well. Like that's sort of the wild card element. Like you might have the player that has to like min-max every little bit, you know, of their turn, so they take a little bit longer, or the player that doesn't, you know, really pre-plan, so it comes up to their turn, like, well, what should I do? My God, no.
Or if you're gaming with me and it's before 5 o'clock in the day, my phone's going to ring 30 times.
Yes.
And I can only push so many. Sometimes I have to walk away and be on the phone because it's work.
I've tried to tell you, Josh, there's no pause button in real life. I know, the game's still going.
And then me and Sean, we visit, we chat, we talk about movies and TV, and that's going to affect the gameplay.
Yeah.
Especially if we both just watch something we really like, we're going to talk about it for a while.
So I think what we can come away with is you need to know your playgroup.
Yes.
Playgroup is a big factor in how long a game is going to take, because, you know, I have been in games, for instance, let's say the Game of Thrones game, where there should be some negotiation or a 30-minute, we'll call it an argument. That's a nice way to put it.
Browbeating?
Yeah. Where BJ threatens the entirety of Westeros to do what he wants, and if they don't do it, he will destroy everyone.
And that's what he's giving up in the negotiation.
Yes.
I will not hurt you. Yeah. That's what I'm giving you.
People would call it a threat in most languages, but for BJ, that's a negotiation.
Well, to Sean's point, though, the, like, me and Sean know more than anybody. We're not in it to win. we lose a lot. But we're having a blast doing it. But some people, it is very important for them to win. So they will maybe AP analysis paralysis, a game that maybe doesn't need that much analysis. A little too much.
I've probably been there.
So you got to be careful. You don't want to hurt their feelings because they're just trying to win. They're trying to do the point of the game. But at the same time, he's like, you got to look around. You got to read the room.
You got to read the room. We're 20 minutes into this threat.
I think it's something important to think about when you're planning your game night, right? Like, okay, this is an hour and a half long game. But my group is a very long playing group. Like there's going to be a lot of discussion or there's going to be the AP person or whatever. So it's probably going to be an extra hour, you know? So kind of keep that in mind and then make sure that everybody's on board for a very longer play, right?
That's a very good point. When you have people over your house, say at 5 p.m. and you know that about 6:30 you'll be around in and it'll be food time and DoorDash is going to be open and then there's going to be a long, lengthy process of determining what people want.
Yeah.
Add that hour to gameplay, you know? Yes.
Plus, you need to know, as a host, you need to know who you're bringing in. Like, I know if Vicky's coming over that she does not want to play Anachrony with all the expansions.
No.
Because while that is a quick game with all the expansions, it turns into a not quick game.
On top of, I'm not a big fan of playing games with BJ. okay. Games that are going to involve a lot of arguing.
Yeah.
Like where it's like, you're going to be fighting. I don't want to have to sit here and try to make alliances. I just want to make my moves. Like, whatever. And so he makes fun of me because sometimes as we're playing a game, I play a game on my phone. And there are times, I think we played Lords of Waterdeep, and they were taking so long between their turns that I started playing Lords of Waterdeep on my phone.
You were anxious to try your strategy. I understand.
I was just like, I just want to play, and you guys keep talking. Just tell me when you're done.
Side note, the best finish of a con ever, we were at Dice Tower Con. It was 1 in the morning. There was no one left there. Security didn't care. We were using the ballroom. Me, Sean, BJ, a few other people were playing a game at the table. Vicky is under the table playing on her phone.
Well, I was very, I think actually.
Not under our table. She was a few tables down trying to get away from us.
You know what it was? It was, I think that was when I got sick.
Oh, no.
Was this the last one you went to?
Yes.
So I had just gone sick, and this was, mind you, a little kind of freaky because the news of the pandemic was, or the coronavirus was just flowing around. But I literally got sick. I get sick from traveling sometimes, and I was all peopled out.
Sometimes you get peopled out.
And so I'm just like, I'm going to be down here. Please leave me alone. I think I was even watching a show at one point.
Yeah.
I'm like, just leave me alone. Like, I love you guys, but please don't talk to me for a minute.
And these tables have tablecloths.
Yes.
Just let everyone know for your imagery. And she's not underneath a naked table. Just to be honest.
I mean, I would do that too.
Well, guys, why don't we talk about a 4X game that I have lost my mind playing? Or at least a version of that 4X game. I'm talking about Twilight Imperium, but not the big board game. We're talking about a different version of it, a roll your way through the Twilight Imperium universe with Twilight Inscription.
Yes.
What the heck is this?
You know those quick, simple roll and writes?
Yeah.
That can accommodate lots of players?
Simple. Yeah. Quick.
This ain't that.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
So it does have actually flip and write and roll and write in there. You are flipping and then rolling.
I like this.
Actually, for a roll and write, this is extremely well produced. It's all dry erase boards. And you get four of them.
What?
Four?
You're not just running one. You're running four boards. Ironically enough, you have an exploration board, an expansion board, an exploitation board, and an extermination board.
I am so shocked. If you could see my face right now, it would look normal.
Like Pikachu face, sorry.
Wow.
There is, they did manage to bring in that feel of TI with, there can be some downtime. When you flip a card, it doesn't tell you which one of your boards to mark up. You have to pick.
Oh, hooray, four decisions.
If you're playing someone with someone who's a little AP, then that could take a while for them to run over every possible choice in their head before committing to it.
Don't stare so intently at me there, Josh.
I had a really good time playing this game, but I didn't have to make that choice. Oh. I played the Universities of Jolnar, And I got bonuses if I went in a specific order and played according to that racial tech tree. So I played a really balanced game of going in a particular order, so all my boards had lots of room, and I never had the stress of choosing where to put stuff. I just played on that board and made the choices within the smaller confines of the board.
Well, that makes it easy.
But
how look at you, fancy.
And I did win because of that, so I'm anxious to play. I'm anxious to play again. I'm anxious to play again to see how I do with another race.
Here's what I heard when you were explaining the game. Yeah. So this game's really complicated, but my race was simple and easy, and
yes.
I won.
Yes. To say it plainly, you're 100% correct.
You know what's funny? I do love the Twilight Inscription universe. I mean, they're Imperium universe, and Inscription looks no different with the space art and the colors and the a million things to do on the board. And this game just looks like it's exactly that.
Yeah, but it really is simplified. So on a turn, they flip a card. Then that card has some resources. You spend them immediately once you pick a board. Then you roll the dice. And depending on how you've been unlocking your boards, you might get more dice than others.
More is better.
And you just simply, you spend those resources on each particular board, and it can chain, okay, well, I circled this, which scratched off that, which gave me that bonus, and I can use that over here on this board later. So it's pretty simple mechanically, but it's just, like you said, there's a million choices, and you got to try to make those choices. But it's really fun. We played in about 3 hours, but that's us. We're idiots. We take a very long time to play.
You guys just like the scenic route, okay?
We do. We really do. And to be fair, I did win on a tiebreaker.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lacey was not happy.
What was the tiebreaker?
Well, we were tied at 82, and the tiebreaker was most remaining unspent votes. And in the last vote that came up, BJ did encourage Lacey, well, you're not going to use your votes for anything, and you really want that thing.
Every time, BJ.
So she overcommitted.
Yeah, especially since me and her were the only ones that voted for, and the other two abstained, so we really didn't even need to vote. She could have voted one vote.
Oh, my God.
But I had two left over, so I won on a... I love that victory.
Was there some rage afterwards?
There was some rage. She even says, nope, it was a tie. No. You didn't win. That's a stupid tiebreaker. It was a tie. We both win.
That's amazing. Is this, gather victory points to the end kind of a thing?
Each board, you will total its own victory points, and then there can be some outside objectives that you can earn being the first one to do it. It doesn't block everybody else from getting it as well. They just get less points.
So you would recommend this before maybe playing Twilight Imperium then?
Yeah, but not in for the purposes of learning Twilight Imperium, because it's not going to teach you Twilight Imperium.
Oh, it's just an offshoot.
Yep. But it's fun. I don't like a lot of roll and write. Sean can tell you.
Yeah.
I'll play them, but I'm not too jazzed about them a lot. But this one was fun. I would play this one again. I'd be asking for it.
We might have to get a game day together.
Wow.
I think it's because it's a complicated roll and write.
Ah, so there's a little bit more to do, a little bit more, a little bit of different.
A little bit more to do.
Yeah, why not?
Just, four times as much to do.
I like four. Well, moving along from the truth of games and their lovely lengths, how about we get into some crowdfunding games? Sean?
Yes.
We love Kickstarter. We love game funding. But as we know, there are time limits to these lovely games that we have to, pre-order and or back. And I'm sure after being off for a week, there are probably plenty left.
Oh, there's quite a few, yes. So we'll talk about a couple of different things here. The first one we're going to talk about is Flip Die. This is a coin as a die. So inside this coin is a metal ball, and that ball is going to circle around as you flip the coin, and it will slide and slot into different numbers. They have every different combination, like the D4, the D6, D8, D10, D12, and the D20. And they have but it's a coin. It's a thick coin, and lots of different patterns on the coins. They look incredible. They're really, really cool looking. And for a heavy coin, like you'd expect something like this to be kind of pricey, it's only $25 to get one of the coins. So if you're like wanting a D20 or something like that, $25 is not that bad of a deal, to be honest. You can add on coins for $20. If you want the full 7 set of coins with a playmat, it's $99, which I think is about $14 a coin if you want at that level.
Oh, I love it. They have these statistics in case, because my first thing in my head was, is this going to be a really fair coin? I mean, the way it's designed is interesting, but, you know, it's got to be random.
Yeah.
And they even have the chart of, we flipped the coin 1,000 times. It was fair. And I'm like, yes, that's what I like to see. And they are very beautiful. I mean, almost, I see the dragon right away on a gold coin, and, well, here goes the money again.
Yeah, they have some really cool videos on there that show, like, how it's put together and you know, how the thing functions. It's really, really slick. No surprise here. They're currently at $780,000 of a $15,000 goal.
What? That's absurd.
Yeah, it's insane. Like almost $1 million. And this is the second one they've done as well. So they've actually manufactured some stuff like this in the past. There's about 6,700 backers. So almost 7,000 people agree that this is a pretty slick thing. This is going to be ending on October 28th. So some time to go in there and check it out.
I don't know. I hope they don't have to crank these coins like those old school ones where you try to imprint the space needle on a penny, because they're going to be cranking that thing for a long time.
Oh, good times, good times. Next up, we're going to talk about something that people are familiar with, maybe, a game called Terraforming Mars.
Ah, my greatest experience, in which BJ said, would you like to play all the expansions?
No.
Oh, my Lord.
I've never played the game before. You'll catch on.
Don't do that.
And we played the one expansion that, at least in our group, no one likes.
No one likes. In fact, we were at a con, and a guy came over as we were playing and looked and went, wow, you're playing that expansion, huh? Oof.
That,
all right.
That guy was Stephen Bonacore.
Well, you know that guy.
Formerly of
Strong
Old Games, the company that put out Terraforming Mars.
Whoopsies. Cool guy.
So Terraforming Mars is a really popular game, and they put out a card game called Ares Expedition, which is a completely card-driven, there's a small board, but it's a very scaled down version of that game. Well, what this is Terraforming Mars, the dice game. Now, what they've done is they've taken the concepts of Terraforming Mars, where you're getting the different resources and using those resources to build projects and basically terraform Mars in through these different mechanics, but applied it to dice, where you're going to be rolling dice to get the resources that you need and acquiring dice based off certain cards that you play and things like that. This is designed to be a kind of a smaller, quicker experience, you know, compared to the card game. excuse me. This is going to be, it's going to be well-funded. It's 247K of their 20K goal, so they're definitely up there.
I think you could put up a blank Kickstarter that said Terraforming Mars, and it would fund.
Yeah, pretty much.
This looks like a great game, and just like the board and the colors, and, you know, you get space involved, and it looks like a much simpler version than the rest of their games. And I honestly am kind of excited. It just looks perfect.
Well, the gameplay, they're saying that it's going to be 45 minutes. Now, of course, as we talked about, your first play is going to be longer than that. But ideally, they're looking for that time frame. And it's 1 to 4 players, so you could play this solo as well. And it comes with a solo mode. Really easy to teach and play. It comes with a corporate era expansion. And there's some extra stuff that they're unlocking right now as well. This is going to be going on until October 13th. So it's going to be coming up pretty close. So definitely get in and check this one out. The pledge level is $35, so there's only one backing level for it.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. Last, for the world of Kickstarter, there's a game up here called Matches.
I've heard of this game, but I don't know why.
This is one that we here at Think 12 Games have
Eureka!
Done.
Now I remember why.
That's right, yes. Matches is a trick-taking adjacent style game. So for people that don't like trick-taking games, really the way a trick-taking game is played is someone plays a number or a card type, and you can only play that card type.
So kind of like Uno?
Kind of like Uno a little bit.
Don't want to take
some people tricks. Know like spades and hearts, things
okay,
like that.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
It can be really restrictive because you can only play one specific thing. And if you only have that one thing in your hand, like, well, my option is made for me. I really don't have a choice. What we've done with this is a person will play a number, and then you can meet that number either by playing an exact copy, an exact match of that number, or by playing a series of cards that equal that number. So you have a lot of variation that you can use. You can also play a card face down as a one. So basically, like, say the number is a seven, but I've got a bunch of high cards that are over seven. Well, I can play them as ones in order to get my lower cards up to a seven.
Okay, that makes sense.
So there's a lot of flexibility in how you play. So you're not as really restricted. Whenever you match that number, you increase the points on the card. But if you don't match the number, let's say the number you played, Joey, was 10. If I play a 10, it's going to increase the point value. Whoever stays in the round the longest wins all those points. Let's say I play two fives. That's 10, right? Well, if I pass, I get to get points for each pair that I've played.
Ooh, bonuses.
So I may not want to juice that card up for you. I may want to just get pairs out, and I can potentially score more points than you by getting lots of pairs out.
I see. I get where the math is coming in here. I like it.
It's really interesting. Everybody that's played it has really liked and responded really well because of that, like, alternate ways to score points and, you know, ways that you have to be able to play to, like, you want to try and get people in to play the card that you're playing, right? Because you want them to juice it up there and feel like they have a chance, but you might be giving them too much of a chance. You might lose hold of it. There's also some cards for people that want that kind of, like, mean backstabby, you know, in your face.
In a Sean game?
We have these things called burn cards, which let you manipulate things like, Joey, you and I are going to exchange hands now, or I'm going to wipe out all the points that are on the card, or I'm going to double up the points that are on the card. You spend your points to buy these cards and do the effect. Some people like that. They like, you know, getting each other's faces and messing with each other. Some people like just the more strategic way of playing. So it's an option that people can play with. This is going to be going on until October 25th. We only have one pledge level for it, which is $20, which I felt was pretty reasonable. Lots of cool pieces that you're going to get for the game. It's currently at $2,700 with 127 backers. We've got a $6,000 goal, so we're almost halfway there. And come in and check it out.
Back it, and that way hopefully we can play it at some point.
Yeah. Next, we're going to go over to GameFound. World of GameFound.
Or funding, as I put it, because I can't speak.
First up, I want to talk about Pueblo by Mojito Games.
Hmm.
Now, Mojito actually has done games, older games, and kind of like revitalized them, kind of like the way Restoration Games has done in the before as well. Pueblo is an older game by Cromer and Kiesling back in 2002. Cromer and Kiesling are very well known for doing kind of abstract style games. This is a very much an abstract style game where you're going to be placing these Tetris-like pieces on a board. Once you place a piece on the board, then this person is going to move around the square that is everybody's placing their pieces into, three-dimensional pieces. And he's going to, wherever he lands, he's going to look straight along a row, and anything that he sees there is going to generate points for people. You don't want points.
Oh.
So what you're trying to do is cover up your pieces and expose everybody else's piece. So you can only play your own, or you can play a neutral piece. So you're like, well, he's going to move up to this amount. If I put this here, I can cover up my spaces and expose Joey's by pushing his up.
Oh, so this is kind of almost like a attack through almost like a computer in a weird way. Like, it's moving and you're kind of trying to screw other people over by blocking roads as opposed to building them.
Yes. Yeah. It's really, really cool game. It's got a pretty good review on BGG if you want to go and look that up. It looks really gorgeous, just the whole production on it's really, really nice. 2 to 4 players with a 60-minute game time, and they have one pledge level as well. It's $35. They do have upgrades that you can add on. Ooh. So there's wood upgrades, a turntable, which I thought was really neat because you want to be able to place your piece based on how you look, right? So you can spin this thing around and have, you know, better looks for it. So that's why they added a turntable.
Oh, there. I like that.
Yeah. And some player bags as well, all really fairly inexpensive add-ons. They're currently at 43K of their 15K goal with about 850 backers.
Key to know, Mojito Studios does not come with any alcohol. So
they do not.
If you were expecting that with your game, unfortunately, have to look on.
This one ends on October 9th, so get in there and check it out. There's not a whole lot of time left for this one. Lastly is one that isn't available yet, but is coming up. I want to give people a preview. So one of the things that GameFound does that's kind of unique to Kickstarter is they actually will advertise games that are coming soon, but are just not available to back yet, and you can follow along and be notified. This is Escape from New York, which I think we're all familiar with that movie, classic movie. This is by Kevin Wilson. So Kevin Wilson is very well known for doing cooperative games. He's done stuff with, Fantasy Flight Games and a bunch of other big publishers. Very well-known designer. So well-known designer, big IP, and basically it's you're playing through the plot of Escape from New York, where you're going into New York, you're trying to save the president and trying to get out alive. Everybody's doing that, so it's semi-cooperative, where multiple people could win, or you could just win by yourself.
Interesting. I assume there's going to be some sabotaging as well in the game.
Yeah, there's definitely some, like, enemies are going to be attacking as well, because there's all the, you know, the denizens of broken down New York that's running around trying to kill people and destroy things. So you're trying to survive them. But you might just, like, let traps be for other people to stumble upon, because you're trying to get out and
who would
win
do
yourself.
That, Sean?
Who would do that?
Come on. The rubble, it fell on its own. I mean, it looked like it exploded to me, but I just, you know, that's just random.
Exactly. This is going to be launching on October 18th, so you can go to GameFound and look up Escape from New York and see what you think. This is going to be by Pendragon Game Studios.
Wow, that is awesome. There are a bunch of cool games to look forward
cool
to,
stuff.
Including, I like this idea of being able to look at it, you know, whatever. You would take a look at something before you can even pledge for it, because you get this idea in your head, I've got something to look forward to.
Exactly.
Well, guys, thank you, guys and gals, for joining us on another great episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. Please look forward to our next episode. We have awesome information about an upcoming fest, and everyone loves a good fest. But until then, Josh, take us away.
No matter how long it takes, play nice.